You are now listening to episode 32 of I'm an Adult Know What, hosted by Jade Pattenden.
Is really exciting.
Okay, so you just have to try and keep the microphone in the same-ish spot so that the levels, like your volume levels, don't change.
Okay. Is this appropriate?
Yeah. Is that... Oh. That's getting get now. Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for coming today.
Thank you for having me.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm Jomar, 24-year-old photographer from Surrey, BC. Currently living in Vancouver. And I rep Surrey.
Specifically...
Cloverdale.
Mm-hmm. Clover
Shout
boy.
Out to the rodeo.
Do you want to start with random questions?
Sure. Oh, I got a bit nervous.
I know, I'm like kind of nervous. I don't even know why, fam.
A little tension.
Pick a card, any card.
Okay. Okay, so I guess this is for you then.
It's for both of us. Can't even read the question.
I'm going to flip it on you.
Oh my god.
This is my pod now. Just kidding. Okay. What would you most like to do for someone else if you had the money and time?
Ooh.
Oh, I got mine.
Okay, go.
You would wake up on one beautiful spring day and you would open up your blinds and you would see me on the level below with a mariachi band singing a coser. I don't even know what that means, so you might have to cut that out. But yeah, and I think it'd be so cute, you know, just having a little orchestra to wake you up in the morning. It's your day.
Aww. Would Rio be in the mariachi band?
She can. But she has to wear her costume.
Aww. Cute. What would I like to do for someone else if you had the money and time? Ooh. I think I would want to take you on a tour of Scotland. Yes. That would be cool.
Is that, you know, James Bond in Skyfall? That's actually in Scotland, right?
Yeah.
And you can visit that?
Yeah. I think it's just like a random place in the Highlands. But yeah. Honestly, it's probably not that exciting to go to.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a field.
I gotta be honest with you. This kind of feels like the first time I ever talked to you. Disclaimer, this is my lady.
If you didn't know, now you know.
I'm not trying to pull up to the pod to like mac
make
on
some
you.
That would be so funny. That's hilarious. Aw, why do you say that though? Just because.
You know, I mean, I guess it's a little bit different because it's the first time I've ever been recorded. So you know, I got a little bit of butterflies in my stomach. So hopefully, I feel like as the pod. Keeps going, progressing. You know, I'll loosen up a little bit, but
I'll come back and be a guest again.
No, I'm trying to be in my professional bag. It's back to school, kids. It's back to school.
Oh, true. Oh, to be a kid again. Okay, I'm gonna draw a card. But also, I'm a little bit like nervous interviewing you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is a good question. What do you love about your hometown?
My hometown. Of Cloverdale.
I don't know why I always want to say it like this.
Cloverdale. Well, Matt, you know what? It really is like that movie picture of like suburbia. You know? I mean, let's be honest. Like, you got the football team, quarterback gets the pretty lady in school, you got the nerds, you know what I mean? First day, eighth grade, I remember I was like tying my shoe in the hallway because I was a little nerdy kid. Tie my shoe and this dude with shaved ass head and his tap out shirt and his lady on his arm just pushes me.
No. Do you push him back? No, I've never heard this story.
I was like bald ass head. Sorry, I don't know that.
I definitely would have had a crush on you in high school.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. But it was nice because like I mean, Cloverdale Rodeo was such a thing. Sports were such a thing. But, like, I just always remember, like, the rodeo always happens on May long. And I just, it's always so crazy. Not even to like, because I didn't really like going to it.
Yeah.
But just seeing like the kids, you know, the honky tonk kids, like anticipating, like they see the clock like ticking, ticking, ticking. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it's like bell rings and everyone's like, it's Friday, May long, we're going to the rodeo. And it's like, it's just, it's this whole like thing. So that was always really exciting to see. But Cloverdale's so self-contained that, yeah. You know, it's not quite in Langley, not quite in White Rock, like South Surrey, and it's not quite like Central Surrey. You know, I would say like the Fleetwood, the Kwantlen area.
Right.
It's not quite that. So it's just interesting because, you know, you don't, every time I go back to Cloverdale, I always see kids like, you know, just, it's kind of one of those towns where it's like your parents are just like, okay, go ahead, run around outside. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like you always just see like random little kids like running on their scooters or bikes, riding, not running. That's impressive.
Yeah.
But yeah, and there's like a whole skate park where everyone goes to, as well as like a community rec. So it is very self-contained.
Yeah.
But that's also kind of why it made me want to, you know, see more, you know?
So, like see more of the world,
yeah,
travel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even just like experience like downtown Vancouver more.
Yeah.
It's all right, you know?
Yeah, no, it's nice. You got a nice ass view from here. I view a tree, which is fine, but yeah.
But I don't, I really, you know what I really, you know, now we podding. Because I'm gonna talk shit. I'm kidding. I really don't fuck with people who shit on Surrey. It's for the longest time, it's always had this like stigma of, you know, just like, oh, it's like 24/7 gang violence, or it's not safe to walk around, or, you know, there's like crime every corner.
Yeah.
It's just not true. Mm-hmm. It's just, it really isn't true. And it's like, oh, the inner city school, the Surrey schools are rough. Maybe. but they also offer incredible programs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the high school I went to, shout out Lord Tweedsmuir, offered so many electives that a lot of kids I know didn't get the chance to do. So we had automotive, woodwork, metalwork. I took, you know, there's photography, yearbook, and there's even more niche things like architecture and drafting and design classes,
mm-hmm.
textiles, you know, home ec, stuff like that. So, and then we had an incredible like sports team, and I know a lot of my friends have utilized that program and went on to do incredible things in sports as well. So in terms of like academics, electives, and as well as athletics, there's just the full range, and it was nice. And I know a lot of other schools offer something similar.
Right.
Dance community is incredible in Surrey,
mm-hmm.
as well. I'm gonna shout them out. Shout out to all my dancers. this whole pod episode is one big
shout one out. Picture. when we went on that walking tour to Cloverdale, mm-hmm. I saw like the automotive mm-hmm. section. Mm-hmm. I was like, whoa, this looks so hardcore. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, there was like wood shop in my high school, but not like an automotive thing. I think it's really cool.
It's interesting because we even have, I don't know if you guys do this in Saskatchewan or in Scotland, but we had this thing called bed races where you would design like, kind of like, I don't know what it, I think it would be called like a soapbox, but it was just a bed, and then you would have to design it so it would race down a hill in Cloverdale.
Oh.
I've never participated in it, but I know it was a thing on the TV. Because we had like our little school program every Monday where it was like, you're tuning into Eye of the Panther.
Yo, that's so cute. That's so American.
It is.
Like, that's why I pictured like, ooh, American schools to be like having all of that stuff. Like,
oh, it really is like that classic American movie kind of lifestyle.
Yeah,
it's interesting. It really is.
I feel like that's like more unique to Cloverdale than like my friends that went to like different high schools in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. Like they've never said that it was like quite like that. Mm-hmm. And my high school in Saskatoon wasn't like that. Mm-hmm. Like, there was, like, sports, but, like, not, like, a rodeo.
Mm-hmm. You know? There's also a casino. You want to go gamble. Underage. Oh, don't do God. That.
Okay.
Don't do Sorry.
My hometown is technically Edinburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about it is it looks like Harry Potter.
Mm.
Like, it's like Harry Potter's world that J.K. Rowling did conjure up the look of a lot of buildings mm-hmm. and whatnot of Harry Potter based off of Edinburgh. So if you ever get a chance to go check it out. But that's what I love about it, because it literally felt like I lived in a magical, like, mm-hmm. world with cool old-looking buildings.
And that's why you're a wizard.
Expelliarmus!
It's Leviosa. Leviosa.
Not Leviosa.
Quick interjection.
Yeah.
Do you know what the Duke of Edinburgh Club is?
No. I feel like you mentioned this once before, though, so I should know.
Shout out. I used to call it the Duke of Edinburgh. But that's how you spell it, right? The Duke of Edinburgh?
Yeah, I guess.
Or
so.
Edinburgh?
Yeah.
But you say Edinburgh?
Edinburgh, yeah.
See, I was connected to you even before. Think about that. Isn't that lovely?
Oh.
Doesn't that story just all... I was only in this club for like a week because I realized you have to actually do extracurriculars.
Oh, so you're like, no!
I was like, wait, what? We can't just come here for lunch and get credit? Who's the best teacher you've had?
Mine was definitely my art teacher, mm-hmm. Mrs. Bradshaw.
Mm-hmm.
She's very whimsical, her personality. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she was great, and she always encouraged, like, all of my sisters, we were all in her class at one point. She always encouraged us to, like, do whatever projects we wanted, no matter, like, how hardcore they seemed, or she'd be like, that's gonna take you a while, but you can work on it at lunch. So mm-hmm. I would just, like, go and work on art projects at lunchtime and whatnot. And she gave me the highest grade in grade 12 out of the whole year. I was like,
you a keener.
Yeah, I was a keener with art for sure. But she just, like, I don't know, she was just very supportive. And I actually reached out to her after I graduated to get, like, a letter of recommendation for applying to Emily Carr. Super random, but she
connections.
She replied and she did that for me.
Aww.
So shout out to her.
Would you still consider going to Emily Carr?
Yeah, but it depends on what for. I've always kind of been like a self-learner in a lot of ways. And I actually didn't get into Emily Carr when I applied before. I kind of rushed my...
Who needs them?
I kind of rushed my application. And I wasn't like that happy with what I submitted, to be honest with you. And but the thing is, like, if I did get into Emily Carr or UBC...
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be where I am today, because I would have been like in school.
You would have been in
Kappa. In the system.
Oh, I was gonna say Kappa Beta Alpha Phi. Oh, I was just kidding. I'm fucking with you. Shout out to all the sororities.
What about you? Who's your favorite teacher?
I think two come to mind.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely an art teacher.
Mm-hmm.
By the name of Miss Volpe. Shout out Miss Volpe.
That's a cool name.
Yeah.
Is she Italian?
Maybe, actually. It would make sense. It would make sense if she was very carefree, loves the arts, obviously. But I like exactly like what you said. It's art teachers, I feel like it's like if kids are art teachers out of all, I feel like can tell whether the kid like tell their energy towards their craft. You know what I mean? Like there's obviously the art kids that are like super, you know, I'm just here to get my, you know, easy A.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like, I'm gonna just trace everything off Deviant Art or Tumblr. I'm guilty.
I'm like, also shout out to 70% of my art class.
Right? But then there are the kids that I believe have that real and everyone's capable of that, but there are the kids that really, like, you can tell they're just incredibly passionate about it.
Yeah.
You know, and usually they're the nerdy kids that are like painting all the time or are into anime and stuff like that. And I was always like, you know, I was like, I don't know, technically I was not very sound with my my ability to draw or my painting or my stuff like that. So I was more on the side of like, I guess like abstract art that really conveyed a message.
Yeah.
So I remember, and my teacher, Miss Volpe, was always so nurturing of that. Like, she's like, oh, don't worry, the technical skills will come along. It will come along. But just keep trying to develop and nurture these ideas you had. And one of the ones that I really was, like, proud of, and let me tell you, I was really ahead of my time on this. Just kidding. I'm kidding.
Guess yourself up.
I'm kidding. But, but I remember, like, at the time, biggest inspiration was Banksy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So after seeing his documentary Exit Through the Gift Shop, I was like super inspired to start doing like just like stenciling and stuff like that. So I did like a stencil of like the Republican elephant.
Mm-hmm.
And then within it was just like some of the most atrocious facts about like pedophilia, sexual abuse, misconduct, anything, like just breaking the law, corruption, just all those like statistics.
Mm-hmm.
I listed inside this like stencil.
Mm-hmm.
So you could literally go around and just like put the stencil on, spray.
Mm.
And then you would see that everywhere. That was my goal. I just didn't have the balls to do that.
Oh.
But I think she really like was like, oh, this kid has something to say.
Oh.
So she was really nurturing of that, which is what I really appreciated. And I know, I'm gonna be honest, like I know, like at least for my cohort of people, there was a lot of creative people.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, I know a lot of them are still pursuing the arts and succeeding in that.
Yeah.
And I think that's a testament to her and like a lot of art teachers just nurturing that creativity, which makes me so happy.
Yeah.
You know, that makes me so happy because they know it's like A or B, it doesn't really matter. Just like, just express yourself.
Totally.
You know, express what's on your mind, how you're feeling.
Yeah.
It's got you pissed.
You like take a photo of me and just throw bait on it when you're mad at me. I'm just kidding. No, I think like
just,
art.
Just listening to Evanescence. Wake me up.
Okay, wake up. Save.
Just the most angsty teen thing to do ever. Holy shit.
Shout out to that song. It's just timeless.
Yeah.
No, I think like art teachers who really just show you, or like they nurture like your artistic side versus like stifling it. Because I feel like a lot of kids that are really artsy at heart, they get kind of stifled at home. Because a lot of parents think, like, you're not going to make money with that, so, like, focus on the other subjects.
Mm-hmm.
So they get kind of redirected, and then that part of you just doesn't grow.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you have a teacher that is, like, sees something in you and encourages it,
mm-hmm.
and is not trying to be like, that art's wrong, don't make a political type stencil, you know?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people try and be like, yeah, maybe don't do that. Maybe just paint a portrait of, like, Bob Marley.
Yeah.
You know?
And see, that is what is so interesting about the school system. And I have a lot of problems with it. But I just remember, going through English, especially like, or what do you call it? Literary arts. When it was English, you know, in elementary school, you do your readings, you're divided into reading groups, et cetera. But I just remember so vividly every time we would read a book, you know, we would read the chapter all together as a class. It's like, hey, Jomar, can you read from page 32 to 37? Okay, copy. And then we go to the end of the chapter and they'd be like, oh, okay, what's this chapter about? What's the interpretation of this, right? Keyword interpretation.
Mm.
And I would say something and I would completely understand it a different way.
Mm.
And then I just remember that feeling. I'm like, damn, this is how the text really came to me and how I understood it, but it's wrong.
That definitely.
Okay, maybe I'm just dumb, but
I don't know.
But like, at the same time, I think like I would be curious to like rebuttal if a kid, I was the teacher and the kid said that. I was like, oh, why do you think like that?
Yeah.
What's your process behind thinking like that?
Yeah.
Which I don't think I see enough of,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And so.
Just like a curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely had the same thing happen. I remember like my English teacher too, like she was like, obviously not a bad teacher, but like mm-hmm. she was the one that people didn't want to end up with, but mm-hmm. I ended up in her class
mm-hmm.
and I remember like it took a lot to like put your hand up and like say your opinion like
mm-hmm.
without being prompted to, but I remember doing that once because I interpreted like the text as something different from what she was saying
mm-hmm.
so I just like said like, oh, I viewed it as like this, and then she just like looked at me and then she was like, no, Shakespeare was trying to say this, and then I was like, oh. So then after that I was just kind of like, this is my worst class. Like I got like a high mark in it, but it was like my worst mark of all my grades like consistently in high school, so mm-hmm. I always thought like the way I interpret things is like not accurate. You know, like I was like, I just like am not seeing it the right way. But it's like, what is the right
yeah.
way? Unless you can actually sit Shakespeare down and ask him himself, like, how can you be like, this is what he meant?
Exactly.
If he didn't actually like write down what he meant, like mm-hmm. breaking down his own text, like I don't think he did that, right? Like mm-hmm. he just put out his like work and that's it.
It's an art form, right?
It's an art,
and
yeah.
it is open to interpretation.
And it's like a song, like a song lyrics could mm-hmm. be, like even an artist that's alive could be like, this is what I meant by those song lyrics. But mm-hmm. like you as a listener could hear like a line and be like, this is how I view it. Or it could apply to this way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Which is the beauty of art. But anyways, I'm still a little bit salty in my English teacher.
Oh.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's like one thing where it's just like, I don't know. In art, I don't think you can ever like fully be wrong per mm-hmm. se, especially in like visual arts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because. Sorry, I'm just. I just got mad emotional there. I was like thinking about my English teacher.
Oh,
Miss
yeah.
Robinson.
Was she nice?
She was nice. She was the one I wrote the card for.
Oh, you should mention that story real quick.
Okay,
it's cute.
Yeah, you know, like. So, backstory,
mm-hmm.
imagine this. Our school was like really overcrowded, so we had to divide into, instead of the typical four blocks,
yeah.
we had five blocks. So, for a semester, I was there from, I know people are going to be roasting me. I went to college, all right? I know long days, but this is high school, so I'm there from 8 a.m. to like 4 p.m., right?
Yeah.
So I was like, damn, this is a long-ass day, you know?
Yeah.
8-hour day, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 8 hours. Okay. but we had Miss Robinson during the fifth block. Oh, and it was just a mishmash of like misfits and like just people who were like also keeners, but some of my homies were in it, and I just remember like at that point, like 3 o'clock, and you're going to class, it's like the last thing I want to do is try and comprehend English.
Mm-hmm.
But she just did such a great job at creating an environment that, you know, that felt inclusive. And
yeah.
that's so hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's incredibly hard to do.
Yeah.
I mean, the Jolly Rancher lollipops and the hot chocolate really helped, but she did a really good job at being like, just finding that balance of being super stern.
Yeah.
Because I remember like, first day she has like a podium and she's like, I'm like, oh fuck, like we're getting into it, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But she was like very stern, but at the same time incredibly like inclusive and nurturing to a lot of the ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh man, like nothing makes me happier than being surprised at people who you wouldn't expect were I guess like into like writing and expressing themselves, and then just to be absolutely surprised, because that's what environment does to people sometimes, you know, when you create an incredible environment, like
mm-hmm.
people are going to be more vulnerable, more open to sharing. So
mm-hmm.
it was just that whole thing, and we would run debates, you know, it's like pro gun control or against gun control, you know. So just like really heavy topics as well. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, everything felt inclusive, and I was just so happy to see people open up, because it really does. I think that was kind of a thing that she really taught me, was the idea of environment and creating an inclusive and welcoming environment, and how that allows you to get the most out of your students or get the most out of your subject. And that is like an application I do in photography as well, right? And that's like a lesson that I've brought to this day. And so yeah, and it was like, and it really is like, just hearing some of the stories kind of brings me back to that word that I shared with you when we first met, was Sonder, right? Mm-hmm. That everyone, when the realization that everyone you pass by lives just as an incredible life as you do, mm-hmm. you know, has an incredible story as well, something to tell. Mm-hmm. So hearing my peers, that, you know, my perception of them right off the jump was like, ah, you a jock, or ah, you a stoner, or, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, it is like high school is all just cliques, really.
Yeah.
It's like, ah, you geeky. It's like, ah, you're into like K-pop. I'm into K-pop. And
say loud and proud.
Let's go. Let's go, Big Bang. But yeah, hearing them, and it just really, I was like, oh, I really want to know more about you.
Right.
So just like having, this was all in 12th grade, the English and the art. So to have experienced those two environments, mm-hmm. really opened me up to the idea of getting to know people on a deeper level.
Right.
Because all I cared about for a large majority was video games, basketball. That's it. Not even ladies. Mm-hmm. Nothing romantic, just basketball, getting my nice jump shot, and then also video games. Very passionate about video games. So to open up and hear other people, just
hear their interests.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I want to kind of document this.
Yeah.
I wonder if my career is going to head in a direction that allows this.
Yeah, and
what do you know? It did.
Yeah, but you wrote a letter.
Yes, I did. And it went something along. It was really corny.
No,
but it was like, it was very sweet, I feel.
Yeah.
It was, oh, dear Miss Robinson.
Dear Miss Robinson. Okay. I'm joking.
I had a crush on her. Okay, anyways. She was a lot older lady. But I definitely had a crush on her, and, you know, in a sense that it's like, you know, she might be older, but I really loved her mind, and just like how she was like, pause. Might have to cut this out.
Keep going.
But that's why I wrote it. I was like, dear Miss Robinson, I came into English 12 with a lot of, you know, assumptions on what to expect and this, and like I'm very much a introverted person who doesn't like to share a lot. I will express it pen to paper, but to see you encourage me and show me the power of writing, was really special, and I'm always going to be grateful for you, grateful for that experience you gave me.
Mm-hmm.
Pause. But no one better chop this up, and absolutely.
Oh my god.
That is like my biggest fear, is to be a compilation on YouTube.
Oh my god. At least it's not video.
True, exactly.
It's not so bad. Just your smooth voice.
But yeah, so. Gosh. It was. That was. That answers the question, I hope. Who's the best teacher you've had? And I have two, so. Commonality between us, it was our teacher.
Yeah, no, right? I think like I think as a teacher, especially because they have shit pay,
mm-hmm.
for what they, you know, they should be paid more, but
mm-hmm.
I think to hear that from a kid that you've taught would mean a lot,
because mm-hmm.
if you think about how many times like you think something about someone but you never actually tell them,
mm-hmm.
and it's like actually a very big compliment and would mean a lot for that person to hear,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like that happens a lot, but then people don't act on it to actually tell that person. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you told her, she might not have had many other kids do that, even though they were thinking that. Mm-hmm. And that probably really touched her. Pause. But
big pause.
I was just being like, you know what I mean? Like, maybe if she was like getting kind of burnt out as a teacher, maybe that letter you gave her helped her to keep going, like recharged her. Mm-hmm. You never know.
Yeah.
And I think that's so cute.
Yeah. Aww. Would you consider being a teacher one day?
I actually wanted to be a math teacher.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Math teachers? Oh, that's a tough one.
No, but I loved math. Like, literally, it was my favorite subject. Mm-hmm. I think it was my best grade besides like art. Mm-hmm. And my friends, like a lot of them struggled with math. Mm-hmm. And like there was this kind of side room that you could go into, so we were like, oh, like can we go in there, it's quieter, we can concentrate better. Mm-hmm. And there was a whiteboard, so I would literally like use the whiteboard to like explain to my friends like equations and stuff to try and help them to get it. Mm-hmm. And like, I mean, it wasn't like perfect, like I don't know if it actually helped them that much, but just that feeling when they did get it, it made me feel so happy. And I was like, I would love to be a math teacher because I feel like I'm patient enough to be.
What was like, because I feel like math, the reason it's so hard, for at least based off my experience, for people to get into, it's just such a competitive environment.
Like you're trying to, like, outsmart each other.
Yeah,
in
it's
class.
Like, oh, yeah. You got 86. Oh, well, I got 87.
Yeah.
And you know that the bullshit some math teachers do, like when they'll call you up, like, and show you your test score, and then they'll say it out loud, like a little bit louder, so everyone can hear, and just embarrass you.
What?
I've had that shit happen to me.
What the fuck?
And I don't fuck with that.
That's really fucked up. That's actually really fucked
up. Yeah. They'll be like, Jomar, you got 56. And I was like,
or they're like, 56? Like, whoa. Yeah. Try to say any louder.
I'm going to slap you silly if you say that one more time.
That's so corrupt.
Yeah. And then, but I mean, it's not just me it's happened to. It happens to so many kids, and I know. And then that's like the most discouraging thing.
Yeah.
And I think also just the whole overall attitude behind mathematics as an Asian person is, you guys all know, like,
well, some of us don't know. By the way, Jomar is Filipino because you can't see him.
I am Filipino.
Yeah, say loud and proud.
I am Filipino. But the thing is, it's like, it really is, there's the whole joke amongst Asian, it's like Asian be amongst Asians, that it's like, it, when it comes, there's like the tiers, right? It's like, okay, English, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but English, it's like, okay, just minimum B, you know, we're talking 80, right? Then we go more into like social studies, okay, 88. Science, don't fuck around. Minimum 90%. And then math, it's like, fam, if you're not getting at least 96, like, I'm gonna disown your ass.
Whoa.
It's whoa. True. And that's why, like, I feel like math and school, you know what? I feel like math and school and academics amongst Asians is just such a high, like, anxiety inducing thing from a very early age. Very early, because it's all performance, you know. You know, it's just like, do this, especially when it comes to a lot of the maths and sciences,
right?
So yeah, so I just remember, I think, like, I was very fortunate that my mom was pretty, like, nice when it comes to math and, like, teaching me math and helping me with my math homework.
Yeah.
But in terms of, you know, results, it's still the same. It's like, you know, oi, why did you get 78? 78? Did I not teach you last night? Did you forget? Do you have earwax? You have earwax in your ear?
No, wait,
come here. I'm going to clean it. That's what I love. You know, it's they're gonna roast your ass, but they're also gonna nurture you.
Yeah.
Shout out to Filipino moms.
Yeah, that's interesting. I feel like that kind of is like, you know, when you think of stereotypes, there's bad stereotypes, and then there's like good stereotypes. I'm using quotation marks around that, earmarks, whatever. Because I feel like there is something to be said where it's like, oh, like Asians are good at math, which is like kind of a positive thing that people think you're smart enough to be able to achieve high marks. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if you don't achieve high marks, it's like very like detrimental to like your mental health. Because you're like, I don't match up to that stereotype.
Absolutely.
Like, I can't play basketball, and people always ask if I can. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
You're also tall as hell, so.
Yeah.
let's not negate that fact.
I know, but like it's that plus, so then it's like, well, fam, like you're black and you're tall. Like, how the fuck are you not good at basketball? And I'm like, you know what I mean? But it's like, oh. You know what I mean? Because it's like, oh, cool, like, it'd be sick if I could play it well, but I can't. Mm-hmm. So then it's like, oh, I don't match up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's like, in that anxiety that you felt, like, that started quite young. Mm-hmm. Which is, I don't know, I just find that interesting. Because, like, I don't, like, know or understand that experience. Mm-hmm. So.
I think that in itself is definitely a goal. And I feel like you might feel the same way. It's definitely a goal between myself and I know a lot of other people is to like make it normal amongst Asian people to, you know, pursue arts, pursue photography, pursue dance even, you know, because for the longest time you're just taught like, nah, don't do that. You know, there's no money in that. It's like, well, why can't there be a marriage between analytical and logical side, you know, let's say the business component,
yeah,
and as well as like nurturing the art side, you know, so you can become a successful photographer, right?
Yeah,
because it's like you need to have that marriage and that harmony between those two sides, because I can't just be, you know, sitting here smoking weed all day and just like, oh, I love taking photos, you know? And it's like, it's not gonna work. It's like, yeah. I have to go out there and grind and hustle and like also, you know, do my due diligence in the business side, my communication. It's like everything. So I feel like that just doesn't get taught enough, or at least like shown enough amongst like Asian people, you know?
Because
you never really see like the success stories of like Asian artists that much, you know. It's a lot of like, you know, Dr. Teresa Lam, you know, I was like, why can't you be like Dr. Teresa Lam, you know what I mean? So you know, it's like, shout out to Dr. Teresa Lam for providing us information. She said you need to wear masks while having sex. Stay protected.
Oh my god. Swap saliva. Okay, cool.
But she, like, yeah, there's like, there's not enough of that being shown. And in media as well, you know? So that's why I love platforms like podcasts. A lot of the most inspiring Asian artists and creatives in like the industries that I like to step in are. The most of them that I all hear are never from TV or movies. It's always from podcasts.
Interesting. Are they visual podcasts normally or just like audio?
Audio. A great example is the Sophia Chang one.
Yes.
That was an incredible, incredible episode that just taught you about like the music industry and being an Asian woman in the music industry.
Yeah.
And she talks about like the business side, the mental side, the creative side, the hustle, the grind, New York. And I was just like, oh my God, this is exactly the kind of stories that I needed to hear.
Yeah.
It's like, why? This is such an incredible story. Yeah. How is this not like told to like everyone, you know?
Mm-hmm. I remember when you sent that episode to me actually, and I listened to it and I was like, first of all, if you're sending me podcast episodes, I was like, okay. But then I listened to it and I was like, I've never really heard like an Asian woman speak on like just what it's like to be an Asian woman. And then she's in like an industry like the music industry, which is hard enough to get into, especially as a woman. Then she's also an Asian woman, and like she talked about like just people expecting her to be like submissive, but she's like very like, well, like you listen to her speak and she just has a lot to say, and she's a very strong woman. Not that people who are more submissive aren't strong, but like, you know what I mean? And yeah, it was just like, it just made me happy. It was like, I'm glad there's someone out there like representing what like a lot of Asian women are actually like, instead of like the dumbass portrayals that we see in TV and film like all the
submissive Asian girl with the dragon tattoo who will serve you tea and do everything. Come on, that's some bullshit.
Yeah, it's like that's
some bullshit.
It's just like not, it's not fair.
Yeah.
So yeah, like you said, like having people that you can see that look like you that go against all those things is such a great thing.
Yeah.
And you are one of those people for people that follow you. And there are people that you speak about that are, you know, older than you, that are your mentors, that helped you like pursue the arts, which we're gonna get into. Because you are a photographer. It took me almost 45 minutes to bring this up.
Oh, let's go. Let's go. Now we pardon.
But you know, okay, so you're a photographer. We're going to talk about how you got into that, what who inspired you, what inspired you. But also, I must say that I've worked with a lot of photographers, and all of them are very talented. But I do find that there are some who are like, you have the technical skills, but you lean more to the technical side than the artistic side. And then there are some photographers that lean more to the artistic side, but obviously still have the technical skill. And I think that affects like what photos you take and what comes out of it. And I feel like you're definitely like an artist at heart type of photographer than just more of a technical photographer. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely.
Because I was thinking about this and I was like, that I just remember seeing like the photos from our shoot, and there's just something different about them. Maybe it's because you took them too, I don't know. But like, even if nothing came out of it, then, you know, like those photos still, like, they just felt different looking at them. Like there is a story behind them. And I know like your team at work did have like a story behind that shoot. And that was like very different to just hear that like way of thinking about a shoot. Because normally it's like, show up to the shoot. Okay, cool, like we're shooting our fall collection and we want you to look like happy and this is our mood board, and it's like, okay, great, that works, I can work with that. But then to actually have like, we want to tell the story of this and you break it down to a more like emotional side of things, like that is so refreshing, because I feel like that clicks more with how I view like things too. So I was just like so happy at that shoot.
That's what I like. If there's one thing I love to tell people, photographers, creatives, whatever, it's just, and I, it's kind of been like a motto of mine for the last few years, it's just remember, you know, like these campaigns and these editorials, generally that's a season, you know?
Yeah.
Like once those clothes go out of season, it's like, it's whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Those photos still exist, but they're not going to be pinned up on Instagram all the time or on billboards.
Yeah.
But that experience that the model had, the stylist had, the makeup artist had, the photographer had, everyone, that whole experience that everyone had, that's forever, you know?
Yeah.
So for me, like, my emphasis has always been based off that experience. It's like, I'm here to provide an experience and like create an environment where we can have and nurture a good experience, you know? Because I truly believe, like, maybe 99% of the work I've been blessed to like do is all because of that. It's by word of mouth. It's just like, oh yeah, yo, every time I see him in the street, oh yo, remember that time we shot this one thing that was so sick?
Yeah,
that was like fun. Yeah remember that joke where we were like line dancing and everything? So like that, just leaning and emphasizing more on the experience and not being so results driven,
right?
You know, like 100% be prepared.
Yeah.
Don't, this is like where I was saying, like the, you know, the logical side meets the artistic side. It's like, be prepared. because as Kobe would say, confidence is preparation.
Mm-hmm.
And to have that confidence that will allow you to nurture that experience and create that experience,
mm-hmm.
is everything. Because right. I want to go into a shoot knowing like, okay, you know, if there's one thing I can cover my bases on prior to any model showing up is let's get the technical side. Like, where are our areas going to be? Like, how are the lights going to go?
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of room to tinker with, but for the most part, like, we know what we want, mm-hmm. right? And then after that, it's just like, let's just let the magic pour in,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like, I mean, I could ramble on and on about that, but there's the one thing that I really do emphasize is creating a good experience. And to, in order for me to enable that, is you have to be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And that will give you confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are nervous. Like, how often is it when, how often is it that a photographer comes onto set, or like it's a photographer and stylist, and disclaimer, I have been there numerous times, and those are like so many lessons learned.
Mm.
And no matter what, like, there will be variables thrown at you where, you know, all of a sudden it's raining.
Mm.
It's like, shit, yeah. You know, what do we do now? But how often is it that people, you go on set, and I've been there, like I said, where people are fumbling with the gear, oh my god, like this, like I can't figure out the right lens to use, and this and this and this. And it's like, damn, you know what could have prevented that? It's just some preparation.
Yeah.
Right? So just prepare, give yourself enough time, and that will allow you the confidence to perform that task.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I love Kobe so much, because he taught me that. Like, backstory, when I was like grinding at school and then taking photos, like I would wake up every morning and listen to a Mamba Mentality video on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Every morning. And he used to always say, he's like, you should never fear the moment, taking that last shot or taking that initial shot, making the move, because mm-hmm. you've been there a million and one times. You've practiced this 1,000 times behind closed doors.
Right.
So just trust in your preparation and your confidence,
mm-hmm.
and go out and practice.
Yeah. 'Cause
that is a key thing. People are like, how do you practice photography? Well, you know what? It's equal parts researching and equal parts just going out and shooting. Shoot your friends,
mm-hmm.
Photograph like your family members, or, you know, street photography.
Right.
Shoot some flowers. The first thing I shot was squirrels.
Squirrels?
Squirrels.
Aww.
Yeah, so.
Cute. I feel like I had a question for you and I totally forgot.
I just love to talk.
I got lost in the sauce.
Sauce.
This was one thing I was going to say. We've talked about this before, but we had a conversation about like the memories being made from shoots. So mm-hmm. like when I share a photo, like I look at it and I see like a whole memory coming mm-hmm. out of it. Like the whole day. However that went, but to everyone else it's just the photo that they see, right?
Mm-hmm.
So everyone on the team side of things, like, they remember that day, but also like I did a shoot recently with Hannah. Shout out to Hannah.
Hannah,
amazing photographer,
incredible.
But we talked like for a while at the beginning, and she just like mentioned like, oh, it's nice that we talked for a bit first. And I was like, you know what, like if I show up to a shoot and the photographer isn't down to talk, it kind of makes me feel a bit like a prop as mm-hmm. a model, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if I show up to a shoot and I'm not down to talk, it kind of gives the impression that I'm just here to get my photo taken, and mm-hmm. I don't like that either.
Mm-hmm.
So either one is not desirable,
mm-hmm.
and I just don't like feel good from that experience. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, to me, it's like, you want to know, like, who is this person? Like, what's their backstory? What do you like? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know, just get into it a little bit. It doesn't have to be a full-blown thing where it takes, like, up the whole time, but mm-hmm. just something, and I just...
Generally, it is for me. I'm just shooting, and I'm like...
chatting away.
So, tell me how your days were when you were 3 years old.
But also, like, smile for this photo, pose this photo.
Yeah.
No, but I think that's, like, what makes you a good photographer, to be honest.
Mm, thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, it's, like, I really have put a lot of thought into that, and it just means a lot.
Do you think that kind of that form of like business relationship or like creative relationship is common or more so like uncommon?
Definitely more uncommon, I think. And again, it's not to say that a photographer is bad because they don't talk. Like, mm-hmm. No one has to talk to anybody at the end of the day, really. But it just, it does make a difference. And I don't know if it's just because I'm actually quite an awkward person. Mm-hmm. And, like, each shoot is a new situation. Mm-hmm. So if I already know that person and I've talked to them, I feel way more, like, at ease. Mm-hmm. But if it's new, I'm just more, like, need to warm up. But if they don't talk to me at all, I'm like, oh, I just feel like a prop right now.
You know? Absolutely.
I mean? And it's just like, it, I don't know. It just makes, it does make a difference. And like, yeah, when I shot with you the first time, I was like very nervous. Because I was like, whoa, you're the photographer, not the model? Like, what?
Come dance with me. that's misconduct. Let's not say that. Cut that out. I'm just kidding. But we did dance.
Yeah.
We did dance. Not Everyone some dutty danced. Whining, but yeah, you know, line dancing, no, line, yeah, dancing, like, line dancing, line dancing.
It's cute dancing, yeah. Platonic dancing.
Platonic.
But yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, it was like your energy was just very, like, you could tell you wanted people to feel, like, comfortable and to have a good time and also, obviously, to take great photos. And I feel like that's what happened.
No, I absolutely agree. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. So shout out to the Road and Gray squad.
Shout out to them. Yeah. More often than not, our shoots generally end up being play. You know? It's like, oh, we're on a basketball court. I brought a basketball.
Oh, how convenient.
Oh, there's a pool. You missed out on this because you had to leave.
Oh, yeah.
But there was a pool table. It's like, let's play pool.
Oh my god, yes. I love it. Let's run it back, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Can you talk about how you were in a completely different program when you were in post-secondary? And, like, what made you transition into photography? Talk about your journey.
Oh, absolutely. So, right out of high school, the first thing my mind was... You know what? I remember this one night where it was like just the deadline your applications. The deadline for your applications, and I did not sleep one minute that night because all I could think about was like, oh my god, do I need to go to SFU or should I just go to a two-year program at BCIT? Because at the time, like, I can genuinely say, like, I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I really didn't enjoy school. It's just, school just wasn't for me.
Yeah.
You know, everything experience-wise, like, happened from real life. So I was like, oh, I just almost want to take a gap year, but... You know, just pressure from my parents to pursue some sort of post-secondary education.
Right.
So, you know what? I was like, all right, I'm going to get on my Mark Zuckerberg shit. I mean, at the time, he was cool. But I was like, I'm going to be like a computer hacker as well. You know, it's like anonymous, like put on my mask and shit and just like wear my cloak and I'm like typing. And so I was like, okay, let's go into computer sciences. So I took the computer systems technology program at BCIT. I just remember vividly, I met a lot of incredible people there, but right off the jump, I realized that this isn't my thing. And it's just, it'll crush your expectations. This is like literally the moment when Hollywood portrays it one way,
yeah,
and you go into the actual thing and you're like, damn, this isn't like endless numbers scrolling down your screen and you're like smoking weed and like just coding for hours, like not even having to pause or think about anything.
Right.
No, it's nothing like that.
Yeah.
It's a grind. It really was a grind, and super thankful for a lot of the friends I made in that program. But I just, going straight out of high school into like such a heavy academic program, without any discipline, home. Oh my God, that really taught me something. But it's probably the end of the semester, and I'm approaching, you know, my last few lectures, and I'm in the lecture class. I'm absolutely zooted out of my mind, because that's what we do in computer sciences. We get zooted and we code. And I just remember being in the back, laptop open, and I scroll through Instagram. And at this time, I have no camera, nothing on my gram. I'm just scrolling through, and I come across this photo, and it's this photo of a dude in like a morning, like dewy setting on a soccer field, with a low mist and a self-timer shot where the man is like running across the field, and like just birds are like flocking everywhere. It's an incredibly beautiful photo. Mm-hmm. And it was taken by this guy named Jeremy Jude Lee.
Shout out to Jeremy.
Shout out Jeremy. You inspired me to pick up a camera. And after seeing that photo, I was just like, wow, I really, really like the feeling that I got from looking at this. It was like so beautiful, so inspiring. And I said to myself, I was like, oh, why don't I try taking photos? Mm-hmm. And through further, you know, I'm still like kind of doubting myself a little bit, like, oh, should I go into that? Should I spend money on a camera? I'm a broke college student. But I dove a little bit deeper into it, and I started to see Eric and Donnell and Mike C and the whole Street Dreams family. Mm-hmm. I started seeing them on Instagram, and I was like, I love like all the photos, and I gravitated towards the stories these guys were telling. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Street Dreams magazine, this is so cool.
Right.
And yeah, from there, I knew some of my homies were into photography, so I called them up. I said, hey, do you still have that Nikon D70 or something like that? He's like, will you sell it to me? He's like, I'll sell it to you for $100. I got you a lens. I'm like, perfect. And this is like the dinkiest little camera. It's fully manual, which was actually a blessing because it taught me how to autofocus. Nice. I mean, manual focus.
Yeah.
So I just remembered getting that camera from my good friend JR, and who gave me that camera, and I was just like so thankful he sold it to me for $100 because I definitely couldn't afford anything else. Mm-hmm. So once he gave me that camera, everything kind of took off from there, where for some reason I just felt a lot more more confident, more present is what I always like say when I take photos. It's like it just feels like a very present activity. Mm-hmm. Where the only thing you see is like that moment right there that's happening, unless you're trying to like capture that one moment, right? So you either have to pay attention or you miss it, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why being present was so important, because I was not that kind of person at all. So once I got the camera, it was just every day after computer sciences, I would get on the SkyTrain and just hop off at any and every stop. So, you know, I'd go off at like Patterson, go into that little forest area, and then, oh my God, there's squirrels, like take photos of squirrels, like try and figure out how to balance my exposure on my camera. And eventually a little bunch of my other friends started to pick up cameras as well. Mm-hmm. And we all like really loved what Street Dreams Mag was doing and the whole movement of this was, I want to say 2015. Mm-hmm. And this was like such a beautiful era for Instagram and photography, because at the time, like, I know a lot of people are kind of like, oh no, I'm not into that anymore, or like, you know, kind of shaded like that little past. You're like, ah, it's so corny. But no. Every photo that I took during that era is still on my Instagram. Mm. I love that era so much of like Team Cozy, where people are like running up buildings and like taking photos of like top downs, you know, like their sneakers on the edge of a building, and like cityscapes, and just this classic like street photography approach. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's just on this completely new space that is Instagram, that's starting to blow up. So I had my little group of friends, and we would go around no matter the weather, no matter the day. And this is like such fond memories. We would usually tune in to like an episode of, at the time, like Creator Class was doing these episodes. That was actually, a lot of them were made by a lot of the Street Dreams people. So, you know, Donnell made one, Eric made one, and Jen C made one. And I used to like, oh my God, I gotta learn how to get the shot. And they were teaching you how to get the shot. And we would go to these specific locations and like try and see if we could get the shot, like how they taught us, you know. So my little crew of friends, we all picked up a camera and just went out and shot like every single day after work. It could be 9 p.m. We're gonna go to drive all the way to Gastown and take photos until midnight, you know, discover little alleyways and little urban explorers. And it was such a beautiful time, and I always look back on that with just such joy, because you know that feeling when you pick up something new and you're really excited about it, but yeah. Not only that, like your homies are really excited about it.
Yeah.
What a feeling.
Yeah.
Anyways, you know, getting my feelings back.
It's okay.
I miss y'all.
Aww.
I miss you guys. But yeah, I mean, that kind of persisted for a couple years. And from my exit in computer sciences, I decided to make the leap to Emily Carr, actually. And I took graphic design, like they had like a little certification continuing studies program that was for communication design. And I took that for a little over a year. And one of the greatest things I've ever done, because it taught me just the communication of like visual communication and design, and that really elevated my photography, just understanding shapes.
Right.
Yeah, and at the same time, I began working at Aritzia, which was really a really good place. Shout out to all the people that I met there. And I remember this moment so vividly. Street Dreams posted something on their story, and it was like, yo, come out to the Bottleneck. We're having drinks, like everyone's invited. And they just posted this on their Instagram page. So told all my homies, I texted them, I was like, dude, Street Dreams is having an event. Like, I just turned 19 at the time, so they're having an event at the Bottleneck, let's go through and check it out. And I remember so vividly, like, me and my homies rolled through, and I opened the door, and all I hear is, running through the six with my woes. You know that Drake song?
No,
you don't? Okay. And I heard that song, and I looked around, and I was like, holy shit, I literally shit my pants. Because I was like, so, the energy in there was like, so fucking heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I walked out. I was like,
you mean like heavy as in like energized?
Yeah,
not
it was just
in a bad way.
No, not yeah. In a bad way at all. But like, it was just this like creative energy.
Yeah.
Where I just didn't feel like my photography was like I just needed to study more. That's how I felt. I was like, I gotta hone my game more before I can play with these guys.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's because it's like, I don't want to just like roll up and be like, oh my God, I love what you do. It's like, I want to be able to like, to play with these guys, you know? Be like, yo, like, this is this. And like, I love, I'm really passionate about this. But just being transparent, at the time, I was a noob.
Mm.
I was a rookie. And that's just, I just literally shit my pants. not literally, but metaphorically. And then I walked right out. And I continued to work at Aritzia. And I remember I was just folding clothes, and someone came by, curly hair, kind of recognized her. I was like, yo, I recognize you. You're Celine, right? I think I've seen you on Eric's page.
Mm.
And she was like, oh, word, like, da, 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 da. And it's like, oh, yeah, I love photos, too, and I love Street Dreams Mag. She's like, oh, you should come by. Like, we're having another event at the Bottleneck.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, sick. And I was like, okay. At this time, I was, like, just starting to really find my voice and my photos and take more photos, feel more confident about talking about it, what I like, you know. I'm bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. So I go with a bunch of our coworkers after work to the Bottleneck, and I'm like, okay, I gotta go to the washroom. So I get out, go to the washroom, and as I'm walking towards the doors, I see who I thought was Eric, and it was, and I was like, hey, you're Eric. He's like, oh, you must be Jomar. And he's like, you smoke weed? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, yo, let's go smoke. And then I was like, okay, word, I'll meet you out there. And walked by my table. I was like, hey guys, like, I gotta go for a minute, I'll just be real quick. And then Eric and I ended up just chopping it up for, I don't even know how long enough for my party to think I vanished.
That you went home.
I went home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just didn't know how long it would take, but we ended up talking for at least probably 45 minutes to an hour outside. And I think at that point, him and I just, like, kind of, you know, we vibed.
Yeah.
So we talked and talked, and we still talk to this day. So
to this day,
you know. So and then he kind of mentioned the idea of an internship, you know, or maybe like the Vancouver side eventually growing. And I was like, oh, okay, bet. You know, I'm going to continue to do my own thing and develop. But that's good to know.
Yeah.
And eventually, I started meeting up with my good friend, Donnell. I met him for the first time in the summer. And I just hit him up. I was like, yo, let's walk. And walk and take photos. And we just, that's literally all we did, was just walk around Gastown, Chinatown, and talked. And he gave me some of the best advice in terms of, like, interacting with a model.
Mm-hmm.
So I hold a lot of that information to this day. To this day. And he kind of, I guess, put in a good word to the guys at Street Dreams, and just everything kind of fell into place where I spent a whole summer after I graduated, Emily Carr, interning with them.
Mm.
So at that time I was doing purely graphics, so making like brand decks or some graphic designs. We did some stuff for Nike, which was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
At that time we did some stuff for New Balance as well,
which ended up where?
See, that was later. That was when we actually went to New York.
Ah.
But at this time, it was just New Balance would send us some shoes. Mm-hmm. And then I would go around asking my homies, like, hey, can you foot model for me? And then we'd go around to, like, really random areas and just, like, shoot. Yeah. So that was, like, a lot of the New Balance stuff. And it was cool because that internship essentially manifested into, like, them bringing me to shoots and then shooting stuff with them. And then through that, it just kind of escalated into, you know, shooting stuff locally.
Mm-hmm.
Shooting product locally, and then eventually through that internship I got discovered through at Road and Gray.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up getting that job as, like, my regular weekday job.
Mm-hmm.
Managing the studio as well as being their photographer. And then along with that, Street Dreams took me to New York for the first time, and we shot our New Balance campaign there, which mm-hmm. is really, really incredible. And it got featured in Times Square, which is swag as fuck.
Yeah,
and then shout out to that whole week, that whole team. Everything was perfect. It was just one of the hottest days in New York, but everyone was just so passionate about photos and passionate about running and just the whole campaign, because it was for the New York City Marathon.
Mm-hmm.
So that energy was just so strong. And then recently, just at the end of last year, we ended up doing an activation in Japan, which is really cool. And all I could think about was damn, we literally went from me following them and just like, you know, learning from them indirectly. I'm not even talking to these guys, just watching their videos and their content that they put out.
Yeah.
Coming full circle to them, me actually working and traveling with them.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I owe it all to them, and as well as the people at Rodin.
Mm-hmm.
Street Dreams and Rodin have helped me develop as a photographer like tenfold. Like,
mm-hmm.
And I mean, to the to this day, I tell Jeremy, I'm like, how crazy is it that I'm working side by side with you?
Yeah.
And you're the guy who inspired me to pick up a camera.
Yeah.
So, shout out to Jeremy. Shout out to Rodin. Shout out to Street Dreams magazine.
Yeah. And Jeremy is part of the Street Dreams crew, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. OG.
Honestly, that warms my heart. Like, it's kind of crazy that, I don't know, just like, you're in computer science.
Mm-hmm.
And look where you are now.
Oh, I think it's definitely helped. Like,
yeah.
Just being in a mindset where, you know, very technical, very just dealing with software.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, were you ever a kid and your computer just broke and then you had to like try and figure it out?
Yeah. And it's like you're trying not to smash the
screen of death.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
or it makes that beeping noise.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah. I remember one time I kicked my computer.
Did
it
work?
And it worked.
Oh, shit. Don't know if that would work now with a MacBook. I think
no,
it would go the other way.
Don't do that. I don't think AppleCare covers that.
No. Yeah. Do you think, though, that by going into something that, like computer science, and just trying out that first, mm-hmm. do you think that kind of like helped you realize that you really wanted to pursue like photography, like
mm-hmm.
something artistic? Because I feel like sometimes it's like, if you just go straight into pursuing the arts, you might be like, oh, maybe I should have gone for like a more...
Yeah, absolutely.
Quote, stable job, but then you realize like, no job is actually stable, and COVID should have taught everyone that.
Oh, absolutely. I know some incredible photographers that were literally, that they told me they were forensic accountants before they were a photographer.
Interesting.
So it makes me laugh to hear that, and then also hear computer sciences to photography, because it's like the most random transition.
Yeah.
But
I just think that like also adds to like anyone listening to this who is interested in photography or another artistic
career, yeah.
to hear that like you took that path, because
mm-hmm.
it's not always just a straight road like, oh, I know I want to do this and then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's typically not how it goes. The more you talk to people, the more you realize that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I called my podcast I'm an Adult Now What, because it's like, now what? Like, what should I do? Should
Absolutely.
I go to post-secondary? Should I just go into the workforce? Should I try and build a business? What?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one knows what they're doing. So it's interesting hearing, like,
I think, you know, like, it's so, you know, there's so much, like, look at me in my garage with my beautiful Lamborghinis and I'm so passionate about it. Just find your passion, do what you love. Like, there's so much of that.
Yeah.
And I agree with, like, you know, you should wake up and do what you love. But the one thing that I will always say to people that don't know what they want to do or don't know what they love to do yet is just stay curious.
Mm.
You know, that's something that I heard and I've been saying it almost every day since. Just stay curious about things, you know? Like, it's funny because T-Pain actually tweeted something recently that I saw, and it was like, he's like, I challenge you guys, something along the lines, it's like, I challenge you guys to like, when you're all alone, just pick up a craft or do something that a lot of your friends or people around you or just society thinks is like corny or like, that's soft or like, that's, you know, that's cheesy. Like, if it's like, you know, doing pottery or something like that, like, it's like, you know, sometimes if you're like, I'm gonna do pottery, it's more so common that dudes are like, pottery, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You know? So he was saying that, like, people just need to, like, even on your own time or by yourself, just like stay curious and try be open enough to try the things that you want to try.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't be scared.
Yeah.
So I would say stay curious, and then eventually it'll hit you. You'll know. I think you'll know when it might be borderline obsessive when you find the thing, and that's a good thing.
Mm, yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I don't know, like, I like taking photos for fun,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think it hits me the same way that it does for you. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, I think I would have known if it was like, I want to be a photographer. Mm-hmm. I would have felt that. I would have clicked. Mm-hmm. Like, but it's like, I like doing it, but I know it's like the place of it in my life is like kind of like a hobby, you know,
mm-hmm.
which is fine. But like,
again, but you never would have known
if
you didn't try, right?
Yeah.
Because there's a alternate reality. Where you picked up the camera and you are a photographer.
Yeah, I mean.
Do we get into space bag? No, I'm just kidding.
I feel like I had a question for you and I forgot because I literally got fascinated by you as you were talking.
Thank you, love.
For real.
I you know how we were talking about feeling inclusive and people creating those environments?
Yeah.
I think you have a really great energy about the podcast, you know, like, I really like how we start off with questions, you know, and just your overall energy towards like you talking to your guests. It feels incredible. So
thank
I just
you.
Really wanted to say that.
I appreciate that. Don't make me cry. No. I'm kidding. I won't cry. But actually, one thing I wanted to say real quick was I just finished reading The Power of Now. Shout out to Eckhart Tolle.
Shout out.
But one thing near the end was like to do with surrendering is like yielding to life instead of like opposing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like what you said about staying curious, it complements that, because I feel like when my life started going in like a more smooth direction that led me to where I am right now was when I kind of stopped trying to like curate my life to be something so specific or what I thought I should be doing, and I just kind of was like, you know what, I'm just gonna stop and just take a break and see what happens from there, you know. And I remember like I got a job at Michael's, the art store. Shout out to Michael's. I was there for like a week.
Yeah, bad employee.
I know, but what happened was, no, I was like a good employee. But what happened was I was a cashier there, and I remember this lady, she was buying her stuff, and she looked at the magazine, and she was like, I hope to see you on one of those magazines one day.
Oof.
And I just remember that, and I was like so thrown off, and I was like, oh, haha, like, thanks. I didn't think that much into it, but I was like, interesting that she like thought that. And then next thing you know, like, I had signed up to try extra work, like I just wanted to do it once. And then I got offered like full-time work for like, I think it was 2 weeks on this Nickelodeon movie. And so that's why I left Michael's, is because I got a better situation where it was like a 12-hour day, and I was getting like 4-hour shifts at Michael's.
Okay.
So it was like 3-in-1 day. So I was like, obviously this is the better choice. And ever since then, I've just been like in film, and then met someone in film who asked me to do a shoot. She's from Nigeria, actually. Shout out to her. her name's Uchi Odo.
Ooh, shout out Nigeria.
Yeah, and she was like, do you want to do a shoot sometime? Yeah. It was just so casual, and then literally I was like, what? Like, I just didn't really think to like pursue those things. I didn't think it was like a thing, first of all. And then I realized like I really love this lifestyle, because it's like you show up to work, and like there's always going to be elements of a job. I'm sure you find this with photography still. Like, there's always going to be some aspect that isn't your favorite. It kind of feels like a chore, whether that's like, I don't know, like sending out emails to people to like book them for shoes. I don't know. Whatever. Like, whatever the most...
tired of the... I hope you've been well. You know me.
Yeah.
But I always wish them well.
Yeah.
Just wish I could, you know, I wish I could send you, like, a voice memo. It was good.
That would be attach actually that to the really email. Cute. That'd be cute to send voice notes instead of emails. But anyway, my point is... there will always be aspects of a job that you won't like. Mm-hmm. But if you, for the most part, just enjoy waking up and going to your job and doing what you're doing, I think that's such a blessing. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So yeah, that's what I found in those jobs, those industries, and it sounds like you have too. And we're quite young, so I feel like that is a very big blessing.
Yeah, it is an incredible blessing. And it's strange, like, once you find something you really enjoy, mm-hmm. you don't really think too much about the numbers.
Yeah.
You know, because you know why you're in it.
Yeah.
And simply put, I'm in it. And you know, like I said, we talked about Sonder, and I just enjoy hearing stories,
yeah.
telling stories,
yeah.
sharing my own stories and sharing other people's stories.
Mm-hmm.
It just reminds you, like, when you're a kid, when you'd see a movie and you would leave the movie theater or just wrap up the movie and just feel so inspired for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know. It could be anything. It could be Forrest Gump, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I know what love is. It's like, oh, shit. You know?
Yeah.
Or I remember watching, like, Elektra with Jennifer Garner. And she was, like, so badass. And I was like, oh, my God. And I just, like, get, like, some, like, forks or something. I'm like, I'm Elektra, you know?
Your mom's like, put those down.
Put those down. What the fuck are you doing? You know?
Yeah.
So I'd hope that I'd be able to share a story or create a story that would ultimately, you know, I'd hope that it would inspire someone to feel that same way.
Yeah.
You know, in that capacity that I felt.
Yeah.
'Cause I know movies are moving, photos can be moving, mm-hmm. words can be moving,
mm-hmm.
and it can inspire someone to make a change in the world.
Yeah, totally.
For the positive, so I'm all about that. Positivity. Namaste. You know? No.
Yes.
No arguing. No arguing on the pod. every pause is... No, I'm just kidding. No arguments. No, it's all love. Namaste.
LOL. Yo, in another episode when you come back, we should talk about communication and relationships or something, you know?
Oh, I'd love to get in the relationship bag.
Oh yeah.
I think
you'll be back. He'll be back.
I think our circumstances in our history and our relationship with relationships
mm-hmm.
is quite uncommon.
Yeah.
You know? It's like we didn't start dating until way later in our lives,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I think that would be
me
kind of
especially. Which is not bad.
Older lady. No, I'm just kidding. JK.
Yeah, no, I agree. I definitely think that, I don't know, maybe people would find it helpful, whatever.
Yeah.
Just picking the, I think the way that we communicate is healthier than most, but it's not perfect.
Mm-mm.
You know? But
it is healthy. But it's like, it's not perfect. Mm-hmm.
No, honey. No. But it's like, it's good to be honest about
yeah.
those things. Because,
and
you know?
That's what I love, is you and I can literally see the humorous side of, like, things, you know?
Yeah.
And it's nice. It really is nice to not be so... Yeah, it's like, you said what?
Yeah.
You know, not pressed. We're very open. And I think being open and being vulnerable with each other, what you taught me,
mm-hmm.
has, you know, allowed for that. It's like, oh, we can speak about our insecurities, but we can also somewhat joke about our insecurities, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's yeah. nice, because it's like, oh, you know what? Like, that actually is kind of funny if when you think about it, like, why I feel that way sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
So... Yeah, we'll get in that bag.
Yeah,
yeah, we'll get in that bag.
That's just a sneak peek. That's a preview. You're welcome.
Tune in next time.
But yeah, I feel like there's many things that you could speak on that are very interesting. So I'm excited to have you back
yeah.
again.
Oh, absolutely.
But in the meantime, everyone should go and check out your photography, which you
absolutely.
Don't actually have a whole lot on your Instagram. Mm-hmm. Not Instagram mm-hmm. whore like I am, but...
Whoa.
Whore in the sense that I use it a lot, not necessarily like the type of content.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Website soon.
Yes, coming soon.
Whatever's on my gram, you can see.
Yeah.
Roden Gray.
Yes.
All me.
Yeah, check out Roden Gray for sure, especially that video you did recently.
Oh, yeah. Today's Youth, Tomorrow's Leaders. Yeah. We shot that with our homie Val and his two little twins, Mo and Ali. The whole team behind that, Jackie, Hiroshi, Bronte, Frank, aka other Jomar. Evil Jomar. No, I'm just kidding. Cut that out. we all worked on that, and that was a really beautiful moment. And that's a very prime example of a story that I really wanted to share.
Yeah.
And an idea that came together between, you know, me, Jackie, Hiroshi, Bronte, and Frank, just all like kind of expressing our ideas. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of touches on another topic that I'm really exploring is the idea of masculinity and the different archetypes about it, you know, and the idea of suppressing, you know, certain archetypes of, like, you know, there is an idea of a lover in masculinity, and to suppress that more sensitive, more in tune with everything emotionally side is incredibly detrimental to a man.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
So I don't know, those are kind of topics that I've been exploring as well, so
we're definitely gonna explore that
for
in the next episode.
For sure.
I think that video turned out like so amazing, so everyone should check that out on Roden Gray's Instagram and website.
Mm-hmm.
And also Street Dreams magazine.
Mm-hmm.
All the work on there is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, your Instagram is your name,
Jomar Victoria.
Yes. And we'll put all this in the description so that everyone can just click it.
Swag.
Let's finish off
swag
with one.
I'm a troll. That is the one thing I will never let go of. No matter how professional I have to be, I love a good troll.
You have a youthful spirit.
I'm an internet kid.
That one here makes a difference. I was not so much an internet kid, but anyways. Let's finish off with one random question.
One random question?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Ooh, this one is fun. You're going to start off with this one.
Okay.
What would you try if you had no fear?
Ooh, shit. I think I would try, like, to become a ballerina or a figure skater. Ever since I watched I, Tonya, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, you gotta have, for lack of a better word, balls of steel to do some of that shit.
Yeah, like, that's intense.
Triple axel. I don't know what that is. I hope that's a thing.
I'm pretty sure it is. I don't know. Like, I wouldn't do the hitting someone with a stick or whatever. That was fucked up. But the actual performance side of things and just being able to do that with your body.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very scared of breaking something because I'm kind of uncoordinated. But if I had no fear, I would definitely try something like that. Yeah. What about you?
Snake charming. For sure. Just imagine.
Why do
that.
I picture you doing this so well?
You know, just snake charming. But I'm like, but I would like snake charm not to just some like random songs. I'd do like renditions of like
Drake songs. Mixed with like.
And me and my snake would like, you know. And he's like my best pal. Also my protection. Don't fuck around. Because I'm going to get my snake to bite you.
Oh my god. You.
And I'm incredibly terrified of snakes. Just because they're so texturally. They're very intriguing.
Yeah.
But.
And then all of a sudden they just snap and bite you.
Yeah. But you know what? I can see. You know, I can see how some people find them cute. So I think that would be a good little photo set as well. My snake, you know.
Aww.
Arthur the snake.
Jomar and Arthur.
Okay, well
thank you again for sharing your story, and I'm sure you'll be back pretty soon, but until then keep taking those photos, keep living your best life.
Thank you for having me on your lovely podcast. Appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you,
my love.
And we're out.
And cut.
And cut.
If you have any comments, questions, concerns, or requests for future episodes, please email imanadultnowwhat@gmail.com. I read every email and would love to hear from you. Please subscribe to receive future updates on episodes, and if you feel like it, please rate this podcast on your streaming platform of choice.